There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
International SOS are the world's largest medical and travel security services firm, counting nearly two-thirds of Fortune Global 500 companies as clients. They've worked with Control Risks, who are a global risk and strategic consulting firm specializing in political security and integrity risk. And what they've done is they've launched their travel risk map for 2018. They launched it last week. Now, James Bird is the Regional Security Director at International SOS and joins us on the line.
Okay, no problem at all. Hi, Steph. Thanks again for having me on the show. So this map, travelriskmap.com, and what it is, it gives a holistic overview of the travel security risks, of the medical risks, and of the road traffic accident risks across the world. Go onto the map, you can type in any city or a region, and it'll pop up and tell you what the kind of risk overview is for that particular area. It comes out about this time every year, and this year it's been released in tandem with a poll that we did with Ipsos Mori. That looks at global business resilience trends, which polled a number of kind of business decision makers and looked at how they assess travel risk, how they manage it, what kind of policies and procedures they have in place. They gave us their feedback on what their priorities are for the coming year.
And the travel risk map is accessible to everyone and anyone, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it's accessible to members of the public. So you can just go onto travelriskmap.com. And then you can type in any city or country that you're particularly interested in finding out, and it can give you that snapshot overview of what those key travel, medical and road traffic accident risks are like in that particular area.
Do you ever look into road traffic accident statistics before you travel?
Never. I've never done it ever. And I've been to some cities where traffic is pretty heavy and driving can be a bit dodgy. But no, it's just not something that crosses my mind.
No, me neither. And I mean, I hire a lot of cars, try and hire a car absolutely everywhere I go, but it's just not something I would think about. It would all just be on perception for me. I mean, I have driven one of those electric cars through Rome. You know what Rome's like for driving? So maybe I should have checked it before that. Something I am keen to know, though, are there any regional risk rating updates on the map this year that we need to be aware of, James?
One of the main trends that we've actually seen from throughout 2017 was a broad continuity of the travel risks across the region that we look at. So there was a small change in Mozambique, for example. We reduced a couple of risk ratings there from some of the central provinces due to a decrease in violent activity. But one of the broad trends that we identified actually was a general continuity of those risks throughout 2017, and something that we actually expect to extend into 2018.
When it comes to places that are nearby to Dubai, I know one that a lot of people are talking about at the moment is Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so Lebanon's a really interesting case at the moment. As you say, it's in the news. It's news quite a lot. The current events in Lebanon, haven't really had much of an impact on the kind of travel security environment on the ground. So for our clients, the business travellers who are going there, the material impact there has been relatively low. So whilst it's something that's worth being across from an information standpoint and being aware of the bigger picture, which is something that we at International SOS and Control Risks do with our clients, we monitor the broad regional threat and trend landscape. And give feedback to our clients on that and what that will mean for them and their mobile workers as they travel in and out of various areas, including Lebanon. But for the time being, the actual impact that's been felt on the ground in Lebanon has been reasonably minimal. I think Turkey is another interesting example that a lot of people like to talk about and have an interest in, particularly from here in the UAE, because it's a popular holiday destination. And Turkey actually has had a relatively quiet 2017, particularly when you compare it to the various events of 2016. And that, again, has been something we've been talking to our clients about, looking at why that was the case, and, again, helping them manage and enable their business as they want to travel into places like Turkey.
Now, there have been some truly terrible terrorist attacks around the world, including Turkey, of course. On New Year's Eve, 39 people were killed and 71 people were injured in Istanbul's Reina nightclub, ISIS claimed the attack. There have also been natural disasters that affect people travelling, like the earthquake in Amatrice in Italy 4 months ago. However, we hear from our listeners that this does not stop them from travelling.
Yeah, whenever we ask you this, you always say no. James, are people, do you think, becoming thicker skinned when it comes to travelling? I mean, yes, they're aware that if they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, it'd be absolutely devastating. But these days, we're not always clear on where the wrong place is actually going to be.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really interesting question. You're absolutely right. There have been some truly horrendous incidents over the course of the last year or so, and over the last 3 or 4 years also. I think perception is the key point that you've alluded to there and you picked up on. And that's something that we found in our Ipsos Mori poll. There is definitely a sense in the last year of an increase in the perception of risk. our sense from looking regionally and globally is that those risks haven't really changed, but the perception has. I think that's perhaps for a number of reasons. The value that we bring and what we're trying to help our clients do is to make a more informed and nuanced decision and kind of cut through some of the more sensationalist reporting that you might see out there and look to the nub of the issue and assess what the real impact is. I think you're right to an extent in that people have certainly developed a slightly thicker skin given a number of these deeply upsetting incidents that we've seen over the last couple of years. But it's also, I think, sharpened the focus. And what we've seen is that a number of our clients have looked at introducing additional measures to help them manage, in the event of one of those terrible incidents occurring. They have increasing numbers of policies and procedures to help them manage that. So if we looked at the Ipsos Mori poll that we just conducted, and around about 39% of those polled have introduced pre-trip and in-trip advisory emails, so helping keep their travellers up to date with what's going on in the country. 37% of them have included pre-travel risk assessments, and as well as an in-travel approval process. So a manager is aware of where their people are going and is able to ensure that if it's somewhere that perhaps has a slightly higher risk, that the people going have enacted a full risk assessment. I mean, that when they do eventually get that approval, their well-being is ensured.
I got to say, as a general traveller, as a tourist, I feel like I've got a thicker skin when it comes to travelling now.
Why is that?
I remember being fearful a few years ago when things would happen in different parts of the world, Paris particularly.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, would I go to Paris right now? And I've definitely changed the way I think about that. I am, like, things can happen to you anywhere, wherever you go. You can't change your plans. You can't put your trip off.
Mm.
You got to go where you want to go.
But you remain streetwise when you're there.
Yes.
And obviously.
Yeah,
you know,
it's on my mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Regional Security Director, James Bird from International SOS. We're going to come back and talk more to him.
We are. If you're running a small company, should you be thinking about maybe implementing a travel risk programme into your well-being policy? We're going to ask that question for you in a couple of minutes here on The Ticket.
Today on The Ticket, we are talking security whilst travelling this afternoon. International SOS, who are the world's largest medical and travel security services firm, counting nearly two-thirds of the Fortune Global 500 companies as clients, have worked with Control Risks, a global risk and strategic consulting firm specialising in political security and integrity risk. They launched their travel risk map for 2018 last week, and James Bird is the Regional Security Director at International SOS, and he joins us on the line.
Yeah, and we're going to be touching on the business side of things now, I think, James. Channeling the business breakfast, the release that I received said 9% of organisations updated their sustainability programme to include their travel risk policy. Just 10% introduced a well-being policy. And as someone who travels for work, working for someone else, what does that mean for me, for us?
I think if you're working for somebody else, it's best to speak with that organisation, look at what they've got for their own, as it were, their own staff, and then broaden that conversation out to what can perhaps be extended to cover contractors. It's certainly something that we work with our clients a lot on. If they have a permanent population in a certain country, perhaps they're operating a site in Tanzania, for example, what kind of services can they then avail to a number of their contracting staff also in that country? And that's certainly something that we are seeing increasing numbers of companies looking at, is broadening out that concept of duty of care to not just their kind of core staff, but also their partner organisations too. Benefits in terms of obviously the duty of care angle, but also kind of reputationally too, and reducing the organisation's risk exposure in the event of there being some kind of incident involving one of those contractors, perhaps. So doing the right thing by the employee, which will first and foremost keep them safe and keep the organisation's operations up and running, ensure business continuity for the organisation, and also just increase and improve staff morale and retention, because I think we all want to work for organisations who we feel like look after our well-being and have our best interests at heart.
So it's quite a low figure then, isn't it, that 10% only introduced a well-being policy?
I think it's there are a number of figures in the study that were particularly positive. So I think it's part of a step change. So you know, it's 39%, for example, introduced those pre-trip advisories and in-trip emails. And I think it's just about a step change and a mindset change as we kind of move into, I suppose, a more mature market, and the way in which organisations start to look at travel risk in a more mature fashion. I would expect those numbers to increase into 2018 as those programs become, you know, a little bit more holistic.
I think everyone does want to feel that they work for a company that cares about their well-being and their safety when they travel.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, we feel like that, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. And obviously, we do a travel show as well. I mean, we don't go anywhere on the programme without our insurance being issued from work. And there are some trips where it's just a no, you're not going there.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes where we even feel like, wow, it's perfectly safe to go there.
Mm.
But it's a no conversation with some certain places.
Thank you. You can leave the office.
Yep. If you are running a small company, though, and you haven't got a well-being policy, the cost of implementing one, it will vary.
From our perspective, it's straightforward and it's extremely cost-effective. There are a number of organisations out there who can help companies start to implement those policies. It's typically done based on the size of the organisation. So there are economies of scale applicable there. So a smaller organisation will typically have a much lower fee to subscribe and to obtain and avail those services than a larger organisation. But I think the real dividend will come for the organisation in terms of staff retention, staff morale, and of course this concept of what we call return on prevention. So that is investing in preventative measures so that a more expensive and more costly response is not required. The events in Zimbabwe over the last few days are a really interesting case study and example of that. Obviously, I'm sure you and your viewers have seen what's been going on in the news there. And we've followed that extremely closely from both here in the UAE from our 24/7 centre, but also from our team in South Africa and a couple of contacts we have on the ground in Zimbabwe. And our stance throughout the whole this whole situation has been that an evacuation has not been required because the security situation on the ground, in our opinion, did not require it. Evacuations, generally speaking, they are costly in terms of business disruption, and they're also fiscally costly in terms of actually extracting people. And by being able to invest in the prevention piece and having an assistance partner and somebody who can advise you on the most appropriate measures means you can eventually avoid a rather expensive exercise because you perhaps didn't have some of those preventative measures in place in the first instance.
I think I'm really lucky. I've never ever been to a place where I've had to think, do I have to leave security-wise view?
I've been in a couple of situations, yeah. One of them in Venezuela, when I used to work on cruise ships. Me and three mates went for a walk round Caracas in Venezuela.
And did you have all your gold on?
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't us being attacked. And we sat in this cafe. We were having a coffee, having a bit of chai, and it was kind of a locals' place. And there was an actual shootout in the cafe with the police.
What?
With the police and obviously a fugitive that they were looking for in this
terrifying.
Cafe.
So what did you do?
We supped up and got out pretty quick.
Supped up after the shooting had begun.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We
just like, well, we got out there. I mean, it didn't last for that long. The guy was wounded and it was over pretty quickly. So yeah, we're not while the shots were actually being fired, but you know, as soon as it concluded, we thought, right, well, let's finish
we'll
our drinks and
here.
Get out of here. Yeah. And another place that we used to visit as well was Haiti in the Caribbean. And you know, it was a lovely island, but it was super dangerous for foreign visitors there at the time. I'm not saying it is anymore, but it was at the time. And, you know, you always had to hire yourself a bodyguard to go and have a look around the town, and even then you weren't sure if the bodyguard was gonna, you know, do you over and want more money from you.
I wouldn't
fancy
that.
It was eventually the cruise line stopped calling there, which is kind of sad for the economy of the country at the time.
Yeah, absolutely, but I can't imagine many tourists would want that kind of bodyguard with them.
No, not really. And the bodyguard you had to kind of hire at the gates of the port. They were all waiting outside.
Yikes.
Woe betide you if you went out without a bodyguard.
We're chatting to James Bird from International SOS this afternoon. James, the people who are making changes to their itinerary are based on risk. Is it actual risk or are people acting upon the perceived risk? Because it can be very different, can't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely right. I think, perception is certainly one of the critical things that our Ipsos Mori poll looks to address. And it's one of the areas where I think we can provide our clients with the most value. It depends on the source of the information that's led the individual to change their mind. So we at International SOS and Control Risks, we evaluate multiple sources of information from multiple channels, multiple languages across a very large and diverse team. And we aim to kind of cut through the noise and give our clients a nuanced and neutral take on those events and apply those events and our analysis of that to the individual and to that individual's organization. If the individual's source of information is perhaps a single source, it's a friend or a single contact, then the higher the chance of that information perhaps not being quite as nuanced or as relevant to that person as it could be, and therefore increasing the chance that decision is based on perhaps a perception rather than a cold analysis of the facts, which is what we at International SOS and Control Risks look to do.
Yeah, and I think we see that a lot living here. I mean, I always talk about places I want to visit, and I'll tell my dad, and he'll go, like Iran, for instance, I want to do a big trip through Iran next year, and he'll go, oh, Iran, I don't know about Iran, not safe.
Yeah, and I don't know, I think it will be a great for peace of mind if you travel to a lot of places where security was heightened to have someone tell you, you know, this is the actual risk of travelling there on this particular weekend.
Yeah, from all of those different sources, and not just... Well, your grandma's friend.
Yeah, heard it from in the pie shop while they were in the queue in the laundry.
Absolutely. So travelriskmap.com if you would like to see that new map with the risks associated with the different countries, and it's accessible to absolutely everyone. So do check that out. Regional Security Director James Bird, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much indeed. Enjoy the rest of your day.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.